I love that I unmuted this just in time to hear Ellie doing boots and pants.
Wonderful.
Glorious.
Boots and pants, boots and pants, boots and pants, boots and pants.
Hello and welcome to Pack Tactics, now with new character art.
Woohoo!
New character art, you say? But that character art's been around since episode one went live. Well, yes, because episode one isn't going to go live yet. We have that much of a buffer.
Oh, right. Yeah.
The Kobold episode that went live today is the one that introduces Monty.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wait, so that means that Sulks is actually not long back as well.
This is also true.
Mm-hmm.
Last week's episode, you woke up the Tarrasque.
Been back for like three sessions.
Sulks came back just in time to wake up the Tarrasque. Yes.
Oh, yeah, because Sulks wanted to go back to the dragon, which we thought at the time.
Yes. We are so quiet.
Ah, yes, the invocation of, no, this is funnier. Glorious moment.
The best part about that moment is that three of the characters in this game were in that scene.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Yeah.
That's right.
Yep.
Very true. And one of them was taken along as a passenger for a dimension door. The rest of them fell to the ground and started crying.
Yeah.
Because Zeely thinks that the way to get out from under a pile of baby kobolds is to cast dimension door, since you can only take one person along.
And to be fair, was definitely a way.
You know, getting suddenly dropped on his head by Zeely because of dimension door might explain some of Dax's panic attack.
I love that you said three different names.
Yep, right. I got there eventually, though. I got there eventually.
Because usually it's my problem where, no, that's Dax, that's Zax, that's Fox, that's Gox, that's the familiar, Sox. I made a character from Wednesday called Mox.
The best part is you got that wrong. Their Sox is not the familiar.
I thought I said Fox. Oh, whatever.
I said the familiar was Sox.
Catch it. I don't know.
In case you're wondering what the heck you've tuned into, which is possible.
Yeah, we should probably go there.
Next campaign, I'm going to make a fish person called Locks.
That's valid.
I'm here for this content. So this is Pack Tactics. It's an all kobold Dungeons & Dragons campaign that for this season, it's kind of Spelljammer-ish, which is fun in very unusual and physics-defying ways. It's not that we're breaking physics. It's that we're using alternate rules for physics that were kind of penciled in and or written in crayon. And with me tonight are a bunch of incredibly awesome people, including Chris, who has taught me that creative mode in Minecraft is something to be feared. Ellie, who has taught me so many glorious puns and interesting facts about weird fish. Io, who has taught me the fear that one can only fear, that one can only feel from hearing a laugh.
Also the phrase, I have a plan.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, that's a terrifying phrase coming from one of your characters.
Jen, who has taught me new uses for prestidigitation.
That's a while back, but yeah.
And Cindy, who has introduced me to lasers and feelings. Which sounds very different if you emphasize the wrong syllable.
God damn it.
Yeah, turnabout's fair play. I can make you laugh too. All right. So, introductions aside, what happened last week?
We took over a gift ship by way of bribery.
Yes, we did that.
Yeah.
And then we ran into a shell. And then we rappelled over to a different shell, which may have actually been the same shell. And then there were zombies who didn't notice us.
Right.
And
they're about to.
Oh, right. I forgot about the zombies.
Yeah. And there was a brain in the floor. And then there was a squid person above the floor. And then Zax hit a zombie. And well, now.
Started taking a swing anyway.
And Dax knows that this is going to go terribly, terribly wrong.
Zax is ready to fight zombies again.
No, Dax has been on multiple adventures with these idiots before.
Hey, yeah. I have an intelligence of 18 and just a wisdom of 8.
Just because your character has the intelligence doesn't mean your character has the brains to utilize it.
My very favorite moment of last session was the last moment of the session. Just the last instant where Zax is swinging her hammer at the zombie and Dax is shouting, "No, don't, we're stealthed."
Yep. Oh, no.
But no so one heard that because you were stealthed.
We're so successfully stealthed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Pass
without a trace.
Right.
Plus 10 to all your stealth checks. You don't even hear you anymore.
And of course, the character who cast Pass Without Trace rolled the worst stealth check.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So during this recap, I was just thrilled in thinking, so the GIF have a lot of pride. Zax is a tiny bit prejudiced.
Mm-hmm.
And they're zombies.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving on. Someone's going to think about that. So I have shared with you not the entire floor plan of the Nautiloid that you're in, but the floor that you're on and the area directly above you as well. So the little circle on the floor that's called the command station, it happens to mm-hmm. be where there is a brain in a like a half sphere that seems to be filled with briny water. And there is an elithid next to the brain. Brain on the half shell, according to Archbeth. And they are single-handedly or single-tentacledly, whatever, trying to fend off a bunch of zombies that are in a nice and orderly fashion, as zombies are always wont to do. Who am I kidding? In a swarm are attempting to get to the elithid and the brain that it seems to be trying to protect. Right before when the last session, the elithid had knocked one of the zombies off the walkway. That one started getting up, and that's when Zax said, "I'm going to hit it with my hammer."
Mm-hmm.
The elithid or the zombie?
The zombie.
Yes. I mean, given the choice, probably both. But in this case, the zombie is the one that's closest.
Zombies first, though, because it's right there.
Yeah. I mean, it's right there. You can't help but hit it. You can't swing a hammer of thunderbolts without hitting a zombie.
Yep.
So, stalling aside, should probably roll for initiative.
Okay.
Also, Chris, now I don't see a command station either.
What?
I'm aware.
I am
aware.
Just didn't say anything about that. What's Somebody's going to type that out for you, I think.
We'll talk about it later, and you'll regret it. It's fine.
I'm sorry, but...
It's okay. You're not the only one who went there, but it's okay.
I'm a bad person.
All right, 22 for Neri's initiative.
I have a 23.
21 for the cleric.
I got a 17.
My rainbow dice is doing work tonight.
16.
All right.
So we got Neri 22, Chroma 16, Dax 21, Zax 23, Zanisha 17.
Oh, sorry. I got confused with Zax and Dax.
No. You're Zax.
Yeah.
He's Dax.
Said to happen eventually, you know.
It's been our thing for the last two campaigns. We might as well continue it.
And in our Sunday game, I play a kobold named Fax.
Right.
That's true.
Yep.
All right.
It is a factual thing.
Yep.
Huh. Well,
uh-oh.
That's fascinating.
That's
okay.
Never a good sign.
Oh, no, it's a great sign for you, because when I rolled, I thought, that's weird. It didn't roll for them again. No, it did. It totally
did. They just rolled that pair.
The highest roll from the things that are not the players is a 13.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wonderful.
So it kept all the kobolds were in a group, and everything else is in a group.
Oh, wow.
So I was looking at it thinking it didn't roll for them. Yes, it did. Just poorly. First up is going to be Zax.
Okay, I'm going to hit this zombie with the hammer of thunderbolts, and my intent is to smush its head so I know it's dead. Learned that from Gox.
The best part about this is exactly how we end the last session, with the hammer coming down and then freeze frame and to be continued.
Boom. Yeah. Okay, I rolled a 9, and it's a plus 11. Is that right now?
So. Yes.
Okay, so that.
I'm sorry,
30,
that hits.
20. And
then, what? Sorry?
I'm sorry it hits.
It does,
not,
yeah.
Not okay. As sorry as
Jen,
the zombie.
Don't forget to rage.
Oh, yeah. Okay, let me do that.
Would you like to rage?
Here. Yeah, she will rage. She's not as polite as Gox. She's not going to.
I'm raging okay. Whether you'd like
okay,
it or not.
Actually, I think I've been playing Zax's They Dums. I'm going to go with that as long as I remember. Okay. And okay, so.
It's surprisingly hard to get used to your own new pronouns.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, I said this to them earlier.
Yeah. Okay, so I've hit, and it's 2d6 plus 8. Okay.
2d6 plus 10, because you're raging.
Oh, right. See, it doesn't say it on that line, so I screw it up every
yeah,
time.
Yeah,
so 2d6. Okay. I got a 3 and a 3.
6.
16.
Yeah, and I get two attacks per turn. Mm-hmm. Is this thing still moving?
Okay. It doesn't have as much of a neck as it had before, though.
Oh, its head
or it does, but it's more internal.
Okay. Is it still, like, moving and possibly dangerous?
Yes. It does appear like it is going to try to get into the Turtle Club. It may, in fact, be turtly enough for the Turtle Club at this point. But it lets out a groan. Some black ichor comes out of the corner of its mouth, and it starts to try to reach for you.
Okay, I'm going to hit him again because I had 2 attacks.
By the way, with a 9 on the dice... Mm-hmm. That is officially the filthiest 20 I have seen.
Wow.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to hit the zombie again, and I'm going to hit the zombie's torso in an effort to knock it across the room as much as possible. And that's a 15 on the dice.
That will hit.
Okay. So
and
that's.
Don't bother rolling. Because okay. You have a plus 10 to damage.
I do. Mm-hmm.
How do you want to do this?
Okay, I'm going to hit it in the torso in an effort to knock it into two pieces as it gets hit across the room.
Okay.
Hoping that one's actually dead now.
You have
just mostly dead.
You have successfully cut a zombie in half with a hammer.
With a hammer. Yeah. I think that's my turn.
There's tonight's episode is brought to you by Clorox Wipes. You don't have enough of them. You just don't have enough of them.
I keep regretting that I don't have prestidigitation.
Oh.
That's
yeah.
Okay. This ship is not going to be any place that you spend more than the next 5 minutes, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
This is officially not your problem. Okay, so next up. On the list is Neri.
I'm going to put Hunter's Mark on the illithid that I can see.
Okay.
And then I'm going to shoot at a zombie.
Okay. Any particular zombie?
The one that's closest to the illithid.
Okay.
That's a 24.
I love the hashtag you used for that. Like, why is she typing so much? Oh, yes, that's why you're typing that much. I'll leave it up to the listeners to realize what you typed. It's clean, but still. Mm-hmm. Okay. 10 points of damage.
That won't take it down, I assume.
Not 10 points, no.
Okay. Then I will attack it again.
Okay.
That's a 28.
You graze it.
I apologize. Discord crashed, and I missed what you said.
I said you barely graze it.
All right.
And Archbeth, they are grazing zombies. They're vegetarians. They go around saying, grains.
That's another 10.
Okay. How do you want to do this?
2 arrows through the head.
Okay. Thunk, thunk.
Just letting the illithid know we're here.
The illithid is very much aware of your presence, and another zombie falls off the walkway, but this one does not get back up. All right. Next up, I have more than one initiative thing in front of me because I just opened my notebook. And this initiative...
Next up is Dax.
This initiative... Yeah, I'm aware that... which initiative to look at. The thing that's messing me up is the initiative that I have written down in my notebook is from a Saturday game. And I guarantee you, Ash's turn is not next.
Ash's turn somewhere.
Somewhere.
Ash points his gun into the sky and fires off a few shots. A zombie, many light years later, dies.
This is shots that Ash fired back when we were fighting the Kraken on the ship.
There we go.
That can work. Dax, what would you like to do?
Dax wants to run up behind Neri, spin his staff around and slam it on the ground and channel divinity.
You cut out there.
You cut off at the end.
I think I know what he said.
Channel divinity, turn undead.
All right.
That is what I thought he said.
I assume I have to roll. What's my target number and what stat?
Let's see.
All of the undead are now attracted to Dax.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Probably.
That's the opposite of what he wants.
This is the worst speed date ever.
Because it doesn't actually tell me much. It just says the DC is the same as my spellcasting DC, but it doesn't say what the DC is. So it's
spellcaster DC.
It's 14, but I don't know what you need to roll.
Wisdom, I think.
14 wisdom, there you go.
Oh, that's great. Zombies are very wise.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And if they
I might be completely wrong.
If they fail and their CR is one half or lower, they are instantly destroyed.
One moment.
Yep, it's wisdom.
Thank you, Ayo.
Stand by.
The player has an arcana proficiency.
Yeah, it's super helpful, by the way.
Thanks.
It's a 30-foot radius from me, by the way.
So, fun fact, Zombie and Zenosha both start with the Z, but one of them you can look up in the Monster Manual, and the other one not yet. Okay, so you said that if their CR is less than one half, they're vaporized?
If they fail, they're vaporized, yeah.
Okay. There's like five zombies left. The others just poof into, not ash, because he'd be a very confused tiefling.
There'd be quite a few of them as well.
Usually it's Ceylon who keeps showing up via zombie.
Suddenly a dozen red tieflings show up very confused.
Oh no.
I will say that when they are destroyed and they effectively disintegrate, they don't turn into ash and then blow away in the wind. They scatter like dead leaves.
Thank you. I was hoping you were going to go with the Melora thing. Thank
you. Well, you know my modus operandi when people pick a deity in this game.
And I love it.
Yes. You don't even know half of what I have planned. This is glorious.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I know, right? All right. So that was Dax's turn. Dax so far has the highest kill count.
Yeah.
How many did I take out?
A good 15.
Nice. That's a well-used channel divinity, right?
And the ones that do... I just did one roll for all of them because I can't be bothered to roll a d20 20 times. So the ones that don't vaporize are doing their best to try to go back the way they came on the walkway. And it's a bit narrower than they would have liked it to be if they were, in fact, conscious of any wants or needs. So next up is going to be Zenosha.
So the zombies are retreating now?
Against their will, but yes.
That means that they were stronger than one half.
A lot of things we fight are.
The five,
because they failed and they're running away and they didn't disintegrate, that means they are stronger than the other ones.
Yeah. There were 20 zombies here and only five of them didn't go poof.
All right.
I have a plan.
So, I'm so scared.
So earlier when the hammer of thunder and lightning was being used, did you lightning it at all?
I think I have to throw it to do that. I think. I will check, but that's my understanding of it. So if you just hit them, it's not necessary.
I'm just wondering if my own staff is safe to use since...
I don't know.
We've been told the flow is very flammable.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
okay, it looks like I have to throw it. It has five charges. While attuned to it, you can expend one charge and make a ranged weapon attack with the hammer, hurling it as if it had the thrown property of a normal range, and then it unleashes a thunderclap and all of that. for a very big amount of space, but it doesn't say hitting it does that.
And while you do that, you do have to use the verbal component of declaring that you come from the land of ice and snow.
Sure. Why not?
So yeah. I'm just going to assume my staff's not safe to use then?
I don't know. I mean,
you are free to make that assumption. The DM will simply sit here and steeple his fingers and say, excellent.
Yeah, because I mean, the only reason I know this for sure is while I'm reading it, and also that Zax has used the hammer to hit things a number of times, and it's never gone all sparky.
And the assumption that
are gone?
And the assumption that lightning is not safe to use is something that might be wise, because you've seen lightning start fires, and it was very much stressed that fire bad in the Phlogiston. Now, granted, most of the stress was directed at Chroma specifically, but there were a large number of other kobolds within earshot, no matter how far away you were.
I don't see why everyone thought that they needed to tell me that many times.
Because they know your mom.
Yep.
And, quite frankly, your grandfather.
Right. I was raised by responsible pyromaniacs. Fire safety. Do you know how many fire safety lessons I've gotten? It's a lot.
This bit has been happening off and on for 11 episodes, and it is not old for me yet.
Nope.
I don't think it ever will be.
All right, so I made an attack roll on the nearest zombie using Chill Touch, and I got an 11.
You miss.
All right, well, that's my turn then.
Oh, wait, hold on. Nearest zombie. Actually, no. It would. They're a retreat, so none of them are close to an ally. All right, next up is Chroma.
Oh, no.
So, how many zombies are there left? Five?
Five.
And they're attempting to run away.
Yes, they've reached a wall.
Would you say they're all... Oh, fascinating. Would you say they're all within 10 feet of each other?
I would say that in the press, literal, they are within 10 feet of each other, yes.
Is anything else within 10 feet of them? Aside from a wall.
The wall and the walkway.
I'm so scared.
The DM has a suspicion.
Not the elephant?
No, the walkway is 15 feet long before you get to the part that amuses Chris the most.
Okay.
I don't care about the walkway. Chroma reaches into one of her I almost said hammer space, extra dimensional pockets, and pulls out what looks like a grenade and throws it. She's going to cast Shatter.
It's been, I think, 2 decades since I heard someone say hammer space. I just realized EO wasn't alive the last time I heard someone use hammer space.
Oh.
That amuses me. So, what are we doing? I was distracted by terminology.
They all need to make some constitution saves.
Shatter grenade.
Yep, I cast Shatter.
What's the DC of this con save?
Oh, 15.
I got a 19 with the bonus.
Ew. Well, they'll take half damage. I guess I didn't really cast it through my arcane firearm, so I don't get the bonus. So that's 7 thunder damage to all of them.
You hear an Imagine Dragons song in the distance. No, you don't. All right. Noted. Huh. So the being that goes next...
was turned.
No. You don't know what it does. What happens next is... So you know how you're on the area called the bridge deck?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're right around where the number 2 is on the bridge deck, give or take 5 feet. And... the area that says 4, that's like an outside walkway area where there's some sealed space between 2 and 4. There's no 6 or 8. You don't know who to appreciate. but that sealed area is probably helping to keep Dax from hyperventilating, because air in, air good, out there bad. Well, up until now, because now there's a gaping hole between those two locations.
Oh.
There is a very loud explosion.
Was
everyone
that
give
my
me
fault?
A con save.
I'm sorry, what?
Constitution
was
save.
Was that my fault?
Oh, okay. Maybe.
I'm betting the gif.
Could be. Never trust a gif. I got an 18, and 13. Constitution is plus 2.
16!
Con 18.
21.
Okay. Ooh.
So, Chroma and Neri, you are going to take 4 points of shrapnel damage.
Hey, I already did that!
And through this hole come 3 GIF and 2 Warforged.
Great.
Hello!
Never fear, the reinforcements are here.
Cool, start hitting zombies.
Prepare for aggressive negotiations.
Oh, not again.
And so make it double.
You need a lightsaber for that.
The DM gets this reference. Okay, next up is the Mind Flayer. Out of curiosity, how long does turn undead last?
1 minute, so 10 rounds.
Okay. Someone roll me a d6.
4.
3.
You beat me to it. Mine rolled a 6.
Okay. Well, I heard a 4 first, so...
Yep. That's what I heard, too.
That limits what I can do. The Illithid turns and looks at all of you and the giant hole in the front of the ship. And it... So, Neri, in your head, you hear... I do not think there's enough of you to make a difference. We should go.
Do I get to respond to this?
I'm talking to free action, but it's not a message you can't reply mentally.
It's okay, so it's not sending?
No.
Okay. He's talking telepathy. Telepathically.
Yes.
All right. I look around at everybody else. That guy's on our side. Let's get the heck out of here.
Oh, excellent.
Okay.
Did we just? Did I just kill all his undead unneedingly?
Well, it's always good to kill undead.
No. You killed the first wave.
Oh, there's more. Okay. Well, how do you know they're on our side?
Because he's not trying to kill us.
Good enough for me.
Good enough for me.
Yeah, the only thing I've seen them kill is zombies. Or try to. All right. But if we encounter more zombies on the way out, I'm going to...
Escape!
Okay.
Can I tell what rank the GIF are that, like, can I extrapolate from collar markings or whatever what
give
rank
me
the
an
GIF
insight
are?
Check.
All right. 21.
Okay. I said there were 3 GIF, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So one of them you recognize somehow as First Mate Neb, and there are 2 others. One of them is Lieutenant. The other one... You can tell, especially by rolling over a 20, that their rank is Lieutenant Commander. Okay. It's Lieutenant Dakota and Lieutenant Commander Egan. All right.
I will point up to the Illithid and say, Lieutenant, get that man to safety.
I say, I'm not quite sure they're a man, but very well.
Get that person to safety.
What should we do about the Illithid that's up there, then?
That's who you're bringing to safety.
Oh, I thought you meant the large brain.
Nah.
Oh, are we leaving the other brain?
I mean, I could grab it.
How big is it,
I don't know if we should leave the Elder Brain.
Ants are known for being able to carry like 10 times their weight.
Chroma
carried an Elder Brain, it'd be a very similar appearance, only a lot more droopy.
Oh, no. How big is it?
Sorry. Neri's wisdom of 20 is coming into play, and all of a sudden things are falling into place in her brain. And she says, looking at the brain, do you need a special environment to survive?
Guys, I can only do that thing with the undead once.
The brain, you're assuming it's the brain, because you just asked it a question, and now you're getting an answer in your head. And it is a different voice than what you had before. This voice, it's almost like multiple voices talking at once. And
oh, that's weird.
Through all of it, there's the sound that the best way you, a kobold ranger, can describe it is a waterfall.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you, Ellie, would describe it as static.
Static.
But yeah. Neri has never seen a TV.
I understood exactly what you meant.
Yes. So there's a lot of that, but you still pick up a fraction of what it's trying to convey to you. And what it mainly says is, my survival at this point is inconsequential. You should go. Zelix will avenge me. That is its charge.
Okay. Lieutenant, grab the Illithid. We gotta get out of here. Chroma, I have questions.
You do?
Yeah, but not here.
Okay. Cool. The lieutenant goes past the zombies, which are currently trying to walk through a wall, and that is just as effective as you might think. Mm-hmm. And the Illithid was trying to climb its way down a staircase that's there. You can actually see it on the mini-map. But it doesn't get that opportunity because the lieutenant picks the Illithid up, carries it under its arm, and just unceremoniously starts walking back out the way it came.
All right, we'll retreat to our vessel and be in touch.
Very well. What ho! We're off! And the GIF and the Warforged go out through the hole they came in and jump.
How far?
Much farther than you think they should be able to.
Wow.
Let's so not
I'm
try
wondering
that.
If, I'm wondering if he home. Could have jumped over that canyon.
Let's go back established that once you're past a certain distance of the ship, things just float.
Yeah.
Does anyone have a passive perception above 15?
Yes.
Let's
16.
See. No, okay. I don't.
A 16 is here as well.
Dax, you are aware that each of them is holding a small canister that they point behind them, and some type of vapor is shooting out from it as they jump, which is probably propelling them the rest of the distance.
Ooh.
They have jetpacks.
I want one of those.
Oh, okay.
Imagine, if you will, the best spray can, or worst.
I have a decanter of endless water.
Oh, I mean, no. That would probably work in space. That's the annoying part.
Yeah. Yeah, it really would. Maybe. Let's get back to the ship.
All right, let's go.
Okay.
Escape.
I am going to speed through things a little bit because I am also dealing with a cat that has discovered that I got the magic dice out again and to roll them.
Attack him, kitty. Attack him.
The D4 just recovered. The D4 that I rolled a 4 on for your shrapnel damage was the one that he defeated earlier. So it just recovered, and he wants to deal with that again. But I will say that you safely make it back because you did have that tether that you attached to the nautiloid from your ship, and you climb your way back across without an Illithid, because now everyone with whom you can converse and plan on what to do next is on a different ship.
Yep.
That's the thing. And you get your way back to your ship, and I'm assuming you disconnect the rope somehow.
Yeah, I'll just
unless you intend to try towing.
Nah.
Hey,
I
don't break my rope.
Break the rope.
Well, which one do you want me to do?
Hang on.
Here.
I'm thinking.
Think faster.
I don't want a ship full of zombies to just be floating around the slipstream.
So we should tow it?
The zombies will not be free to float around.
Okay, I'll untie the rope and then I'll let Zax reel me in.
Okay, I can do that.
I will tie the rope around myself and let Zax reel me in.
That'll do. I start reeling her in.
Okay. And Nuri gets on board safely. I'm assuming at this point you tell Cogbucket to skedaddle out of there?
Yep.
JR, and yes.
Okay. And the...
Not Cogbucket, JR.
Yep. Because the other Cogbucket would not be able to help you much.
No. Yeah. Not from where he's at.
And especially not the other Cogbucket.
Contact Cogbucket. We use something to contact Cogbucket and say, get us out of here. And Cogbucket says, what?
Well, you'd have to get inside another crystal sphere because you found that extra dimensional messaging like that doesn't work in the flow.
Ah.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff that doesn't work in the flow.
JR, punch it.
JR lightly punches the helm.
God damn it.
Good try, JR.
We actually go faster.
It turns out JR knew exactly what you meant, but decided to use the pun anyway. That's character growth. Yeah. Okay, and as you are moving away, there are some shutters to the ship, and for a brief moment, you're moving a bit faster.
Uh-oh.
Huh. What happened?
Neat.
I imagine the ship blew up. the Nautilus blew up.
Oh, less neat.
I bet the brain had a self-destruct.
Kind of neat, but also sad.
Okay, so the zombies then, are they just what are they doing now? Do they survive in space, or are they just, I don't know.
Well, how much explosion damage do you think a zombie can handle?
Not that much.
Yeah, okay.
Less than 20 hit points worth?
Yeah.
So, Chroma.
Yes?
The brain said that Zelix would avenge it.
Uh-huh.
And? That sounds suspiciously like your mom's name with an X at the end.
Pretty sure she's not in space. Or pretending to be a mind flayer.
I mean,
yeah,
you say pretty sure, but how can you be positive?
Because she hasn't showed up and made dramatic speeches yet. Or laughed.
That's a good
point. Or intimidated anybody.
Yeah, but doesn't your mom know Wish?
Yeah. And?
Think about it for a second.
I
wish to be with Chroma.
Oh, I hope she doesn't do that.
I wish to be all-knowing.
I don't think it works that way.
I mean, I don't have Wish. I don't know.
The DM does not want it to be that way.
If Zeely just for a second said, I wish to be with Chroma, and whatever governs the wish spell decided that meant to put her in the body of a mind flayer who was currently under attack by a lot of zombies while its chip was...
I appreciate that Nuri is giving Chroma a panic attack, but at the same time... As the force that governs what happens with wish spells, I can tell you I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
I rolled a 12 for my arcana. I think since Chroma grew up with Zeely, that's enough to know. No, it isn't just if she lowercase w wishes for something. Otherwise, the world would be a lot weirder and she'd probably not be able to cast the spell anymore.
Well, okay. That's fair. Perfectly fair. Neri has a wisdom of 20, but an intelligence of 12.
Oh, okay.
So she's really good at thinking through the ramifications of things. She's not great at figuring out which things to think through the ramifications of.
Mood. Okay. Well, on that horrible note, what do you say we take a short break? We've been live for just over an hour.
Yep.
Okay.
It's a beautiful day in the flow, and that is a horrible note.
Honk.
Yeah, let's take 5. Abscess makes the farts go Honda.
Yeah, we went live right before you said that.
Right before.
Sure. Oh, no.
I was banking on that.
I'm not kidding that. People are going to wonder what the heck. That. Get those shaggy dogs out of here. Okay.
Well, they're not so shaggy.
All right. So you continue through the flow, going in the direction that you're pretty sure the moon went in. In part because every now and then you still see like bits and pieces of an elithid nautilus or nautiloid. Not anything as intact as the one that you were investigating, not at this point. But there's little trailing bits that stayed locked in the gravity well for a little bit longer than others before being torn away.
The best part of this, though, is that we can recreate the story that the mind flayer left behind it as it traveled through the flow, or as later scholars will almost certainly call it, the Elithiad.
I feel like this journey is taking a lot longer than it should have.
About 10 years longer.
Now I got it.
Just wait for season 4, which is going to be a combination of every awesome D&D character that has ever been created, all on one boat.
Oh no.
And the theme song, Lonely Island.
I love this game.
Featuring T-Pain.
So much. Some days more than others.
Yeah, today less than other days because I'm talking a lot.
You're free to think that. You're also free to be wrong. Okay, moving forward, So it's only a few hours before the Mind Flayer that was unceremoniously carried over to the gift ship finds its way over to your ship.
Oh.
Yes. Apparently the gift ship came up alongside your vessel and it levitated its way across.
Oh my goodness.
And then knocked on the hatch door.
I open it.
Of course you do.
This Elitha's name is going to be Binksy.
No, we've already established its name is Zelix.
Oh. Well, right, we're going to have to call him Binksy.
Yeah.
Because he made an exit to the gift ship.
I'm missing some context here. I got it.
Okay, I got fine. It.
Okay.
I will not laugh. I am one with the Force. The Force is with me. I am one with the Force. With me. I am one with the Force. The Force is with me.
Hello.
It's not like you have to give her inspiration if you do laugh. She already has it, probably.
Probably.
I actually don't.
Oh, no.
Here's my inspiration last session.
Fine. You have an inspiration. You've made me laugh more than once this session. Okay. So the Elithid looks down at Chroma for a few beats and then says,
Sis?
I seek asylum from the gift vessel.
All right. You can come in.
We understand that.
Yes, absolutely. They're kind of annoying.
They
never stop talking, and it's just
they're very arrogant.
Our ship's a little small, but you can come in, I guess.
I guess the gift do take a little bit of getting used to.
You got used to them in 5 minutes. Everyone else wanted to murder them.
Pretty much.
Okay, but never stop talking. Very arrogant. You remember who I grew up with, right?
Yeah, fair. But it's different. I mean.
Your mom mostly knew
what she was fair. Talking about, you know?
Extremely fair.
All right.
You've never heard me try to explain magic.
Oh, no, I don't think I have. I don't know why she tried to explain magic to me anyway, but yeah. I guess you're immune then, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to go open the door, I guess. Or is it already open?
Chroma opened it. The Elithid has already made its way down the hatch.
Okay.
The GIF were not very forthcoming with your reason for assisting me.
Do we need a reason?
You were in trouble. We were around.
You have not encountered my kind before?
No,
yes,
we have.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, one of them did. I don't know if that's supposed to be a secret, but
not encountered my kind beyond the one that destroyed our fleet before?
Right.
Destroyed?
Well, it took a moon. I mean, I could see where it would be able to do that. I don't know why it would, but...
Oh, no.
We are not usually welcome.
Did they destroy your fleet with a moon?
It was very effective.
I'm so sorry.
Well, if you want to kill him, there's a line for me.
What has it done to you?
It stole our moon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of lied to us and said it was just going to, like, live on there and didn't want to be bothered by anybody, and then it stole the moon, and...
I thought they were a refugee.
Well, that's what it tried to make us think.
It was trying to live in peace. We thought that it could just live in peace on our moon and that was what it wanted to do, not steal it and go wreak havoc. And I'm sorry that it did that.
It is a heretic.
In what sense?
It abandoned our ways, our cycle of life. Life itself. When we find a heretic, we put an end to them. They tend to try to find places out of the way where we will not look or where we will not go. This one... I'm sorry?
I was going to say, like random moon from random planet.
That doesn't show up on, say, a standard map.
That is a distinct possibility.
So, let me ask you what may sound like an unrelated question, but...
42.
God damn it.
Your rulers are really long. If we were to have seen a Nautilus ship like the one you were on, except, you know, not broken... parked at a dock with, among other ships from other races. What are the odds that they would be heretics?
Not very likely. We do some business, some trade with non-illithid. Groundling illithid are more xenophobic.
Okay.
Spacefarers, flowfarers, tend to be more cosmopolitan.
Okay. Except, well, that's good to know.
For the ones that steal moons.
Yeah, we're not too happy with him either.
Nope.
Their actions are troubling. They had, apparently, a very good hiding spot. That they would abandon it is curious.
Well, we found him.
Yeah. I mean, we weren't looking for him, but, yep.
Yeah. We actually, we were looking for a gift ship, I think.
Yeah. Originally.
But they destroyed.
And, yeah, it turned out he destroyed it, I think. Well, we think.
I don't
we
know.
Assume it, well, it, we it was it destroyed, pieces, and so. Also he was there. And there were a whole bunch of dragonborn that he'd turned undead.
You said abandoned life.
That was weird.
It decided to embrace the arcane.
What does that mean, though?
We illithid seek immortality by becoming one with an elder brain upon our death. Those that abandon our psychic nature sometimes find other means to prolong life. Not all of these involve living.
So
you're talking about liches, aren't you?
In a manner of speaking, there is... You do not have a word for what it is, but lich is close.
Hmm.
Creepy. We have creepy.
But a lot of things are creepy.
Yeah, but, I mean, it does adequately describe.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
JR, how are we doing?
JR waves.
Okay.
I wave.
Zelix half waves before it stops itself.
I'm going to teach JR a new gesture.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
No, all your fingers. All your fingers.
Not that one.
I'm waiting to see what she's going to teach him.
So I'm gonna teach JR that waving means hello, or I acknowledge you, or, you know, generally neutral stuff. But if you want to indicate that something's positive, what you do is you make a fist, and then you put your thumb directly up.
Oh, no.
You hold your hand to the side, you make your fist, and then you put your thumb directly up, and that indicates that things are going well. Now, that's a
JR
positive.
Mimics this.
Aww.
Teach them the opposite. That might come in handy.
Okay.
Yeah. JR holds their thumb down.
Oh.
Yeah.
Put your thumb down, and that means that things are going badly or negative,
that,
or you disagree.
That means we're all about to die.
Hey, we haven't died yet.
JR nods.
Well, yet.
Generally, you only get one shot at that.
We're about to die, and then we... I don't know.
If I say it enough, at least eventually I'll be right at one point.
I mean, yeah, we're gonna die eventually. Probably.
Do
I mean,
you not
I can't
think you're
so
mortal?
Think about who her mom is.
Does she not think she's mortal?
I don't know.
I mean,
do you not know how lifespans work?
Zax, think about who taught you to barbarian.
Well, yeah, but I don't know if Gox thinks he's immortal.
Oh. But, well,
I mean,
actually,
we could
that's
all turn into dragons someday or something.
Well, I don't think that just is, like happens, though. I mean, I think that's like you got to do something for that, you know.
This is Ellie saying that, not Neri. That's a complicated question because the dragon lifespan is substantially longer than the stated kobold lifespan.
Okay, but that doesn't mean Gox thinks he's immortal, you know.
No, but.
It gives him a longer life, yeah.
It does mean that Gox is going to see several generations of kobolds live and die.
Right.
Including
well, that's
friends.
True no matter what.
That's really depressing.
Mm-hmm.
The average kobold lifespan is incredibly low, but max kobold lifespan is close to 200 years.
Yeah.
And with the power level that the kobolds in last campaign got to, there's a pretty good chance that they're all going to go up to at least the 200-year mark. So they are going to see a large number of kobold generations.
Oh, yeah. Daldane is learning clone as soon as possible.
You can do that with wish. Go wrong with this. You can wish cast it.
I know. Anyway.
Anyway.
So, JR, you can also use thumbs up to mean yes and thumbs down to mean no. With that understood, would you like me to take over?
JR holds their thumb horizontally.
I think that means they don't care.
Or they don't know.
Does that mean you don't care?
JR demonstrates another gesture, which none of you have taken the time to teach JR. They shrug.
So you don't know whether you know?
That's some genuine character progression right there. Right,
yeah, I wonder where you learned that. Meanwhile, the illithid on the ship is probably like, what are these kobolds doing?
Having a weird conversation about death.
I would definitely say the kobolds are the lesser of the two evils that this illithid has to deal with.
Oh, the illithid is making no move to go back to the gift ship.
A, the illithid is probably making no move to go back to the gift ship, but also B, the kobolds are showing the illithid that, you know, knowing how illithids reproduce, there is no reproductive capacity to be found here.
All chances for this illithid to have offspring in any amount of near future went up in a giant explosion. The brine pool is where they keep their parasites. So not only did its father figure / deity go up and go boom, so did technically all of its kids.
Oh, wow.
Well.
So, I mean, like, I know we're all mortal, but I also don't know that we're not all going to become dragons someday or something. So, you know.
I feel like special circumstances.
It just occurred to me that if any of you figures out what Monty is, your first thoughts will be that Daldane did it again.
Yep.
That's
what Promo would assume.
I think all of us would assume this.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
like, totally. Monty could transform into a dragon in front of Chroma, and she'd be like, oh, cool, you got true polymorph.
No, well, yes, technically, but that's not what... Oh.
You can only blame Daldane for this.
I'm an ancient red dragon. Like, emphasis on the ancient. Oh, neat, Daldane learned time travel?
No, well, okay, yes, that too. But, cut to Daldane handing out business cards to a pack of velociraptors.
I totally am going to know Daldane.
Oh, I love this game so much. So... imagine this wonderful banter taking place for another 2 days.
Oh
my gosh. That's a long time.
Yes. The illithid will occasionally give responses to things if asked questions, but for the most part spends its time staring out the giant crystal lenses that are the eyes of your dragonfly ship, looking ahead.
I offer it use of the spyglass.
It makes use of it on occasion when offered, but it does not request it by itself. It also makes no offer to pilot the helm. You're not entirely sure it can.
Yeah, it said something. The whole thing about psychic versus arcane made me think that it probably needs a different kind of helm, especially since there wasn't a traditional helm on the Nautilus ship.
Not that you saw. Okay, and during this time, let's see.
Out of character, I know this. In character, I don't think even an Arcana role is going to tell me anything about psionics. But out of character, 5e psionic characters don't have spell slots. They just have psi points and powers now.
In the versions of Dungeons & Dragons that had psionics as a playable class, absolutely right. That does not currently exist in 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons. So that's kind of out there as something that we might see in the future-ish.
Oh, yeah. I'm going by Unearthed Arcana, so.
Yeah. I mean, hope springs eternal considering the trailer for Baldur's Gate and the opening sequence. But we'll see. I never wrapped my head around psionics, but whatever.
No spell slots for folks with psionics. And suddenly my brain will never be the same psionics.
Okay. During this time, Dax, how are you handling the flow?
Are you just going with it?
He's not, like, full-on panicking. He was prepared this time. Still not comfortable, but not in a panic. You can see he is clearly uncomfortable and just not liking this at all. But he's holding it together.
Okay. All of you occasionally notice JR. Like, JR has found an empty book. It was a blank book. And occasionally JR draws or writes something in it.
Hmm.
And at one point during this two-day period of just going through the flow, trying to catch up to a moon, JR comes over and sits down next to Dax and opens the book up to a page and shows it to Dax.
What do I see?
It's a skeleton. It is clearly a skeleton, with familiar proportions, perhaps. But it looks like a large amount of it is possibly covered in vines where you would possibly have muscle. There appear to be a few leaves that are sprouting off of various twigs that are coming off the body. This is very, very childishly drawn. But you get the sense for, like, hey, this is a skeleton, but imagine if a skeleton was Groot.
I look at it for a minute. I pull out my staff, pull off one of the leaves, and try and match up roughly where one of the leaves would be in the picture, and put it on JR. Put it there on JR. Is that what you're getting at, buddy?
JR looks at it for a moment, then gives you a thumbs up.
I think I know where we can get help with this.
JR starts to wave and then stops, then gives you another thumbs up.
So, Zenosha
does
all the things with the plants. She's probably your best bet to help with that.
My plants all grow thanks to Zenosha.
I mean, that's definitely true.
Shall we see if she's willing to help?
JR stares at you for a moment and then gives a maybe 3/4 thumbs up.
You want to wait a little?
JR turns to another page in the book, and you see several more childish. You get the idea that many pages were spent practicing trying to get ideas. So these are much more childish in their design, and some of the proportions are very off. But there's some prototype planned ideas where instead of vines and I am Groot type stuff, it's more mushrooms, and several of them are crossed out like, this was a... Now that I've looked at this, no.
Okay, so this one's got a cross. That's a no. This one, you don't have a cross, but it's... I don't think you put a lot of effort into that one. I don't think you had your heart in that one.
JR shakes their head no.
There's a few. We can work. We can try. We can see how you feel.
JR nods.
I'll go through the rest of it and see which ones I can potentially help with and take notes to who would be the best person to speak to on each of them.
Okay.
Leaving out the ones that are crossed.
Okay. As you're looking through the designs, you find another page where it looks kind of roughly like the meeting house. That actually, you wouldn't know this because your character didn't go there. But if the other kobolds had seen it, they would say, hey, that looks like the meeting house that all of the Warforged were in. But it doesn't look like it's in disrepair. It looks like a nice building. There's colorful curtains on the windows, and there's 5 kobolds and a skeleton, all with really great big smiles, although granted for the skeleton, that's kind of default. All in front of the house holding hands.
Oh,
I give him a hug. I give them a hug.
It's hard to tell that a skeleton is embarrassed, but you're pretty sure they are.
Oh.
They didn't want you to see that one. Okay. On the third day, you come within sight of another crystal sphere. You didn't see it coming. the flow is thick enough in this area that you would think that a sphere large enough to contain an entire solar system wouldn't sneak up on you. But somehow this one did.
Hey, Chroma, we need your key.
Like, really hey. Fast.
All right. And Chroma will go hold up her key.
Okay. You have attracted Zelix's attention. What is this thing?
It's for going in and out of the crystal spheres.
We have not encountered a design like that before.
Is that not what they all look like?
Usually, it will be a wand.
Hmm. Well, we found this one in a...
Occasionally, one will cast a spell. There are legends of a ship and some beings that do not need anything. You say you found this?
Right, in an asteroid that tried to eat me.
Yeah, in an asteroid that... I mean, I guess it wasn't a mimic, but it was kind of like a mimic that could only mimic an asteroid.
Right, yeah. And it was inside it.
Really? And it tried to eat Zax.
Right, mm-hmm. But I fought my way out, and then I went back in. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Thing ate me. I punched it to death, kind of, from the inside. And then I went back in to get that shiny thing, because I figured Chroma would like it.
Aww.
Not a mimic.
Not a mimic?
More beholderkin.
Oh!
What's a beholder?
A giant sphere with eyes.
Huh. Okay. I don't Very think I've seen one of those yet.
Arrogant.
A lot of things are.
More arrogant than the gift.
Wow.
That's a high bar.
Yeah.
More xenophobic than my own people.
Hmm.
Well, makes sense. The only one we've ever ran into started off by attacking us.
Yep.
Not
is the key
a...
opening a hole?
Oh, yeah. The hole's there. You're just like parked.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll go through then.
Okay. You go through, and it's a relatively small system. There is a single star that appears to be in the center. And you don't really see any planets. From this distance, you usually would not. But you do see something.
Hmm.
Something very, very large going all the way around the sun. You assume going all the way around the sun because it curves off in a circular track until it's out of sight.
Would you say it looks like it's possibly a ring around the star?
It does, in fact, look like it's a ring around the star.
Well, let's go investigate, and Dax, you can get your spell slots back.
As soon as you go through, Dax, it feels incredible joy.
I guess they wanted the star.
Yeah, the second we come through, you just hear just a giant sigh of relief come from Dax.
And I can tell you that if every time you go into another crystal sphere, I just hear EO geeking out about what place you've gone to next, I will be okay with this.
I don't know where we are. I don't know if it's referencing something.
Do you know what a Dyson sphere is?
We're in a Dyson sphere.
You are not in a Dyson sphere. That requires a lot of material. You know what else requires a lot of material, but not nearly as much as a Dyson sphere?
Would be
a ring world, where instead of having a sphere around the sun, you have a ring around the sun.
Oh.
It is more unstable.
So the question is...
Sorry?
I was just going to say, so the question is this Larry Niven or is this Halo?
Not Halo. Let's hope not Halo. I don't have to deal with the flood.
I'm actually not particularly familiar with the Larry Niven story. I just know what a ring world is because I play a lot of Space 4X games. And, I mean, I've heard about the story Ringworld, but never read it.
It's an interesting, shall we say, universe that is created around the Ringworld universe.
Yeah.
But this is definitely a ring around the sun. Not a rosy sun, but still a sun.
Someone really liked this sun. Because they put a ring on it.
I get it now.
God damn it.
You know, I think you just named the next session's episode.
Oh.
This cube is special because usually they have to be a wand of the spell that opens it, or the spell itself, and this isn't within that acceptable variation.
This is something I have not seen before.
I mean, it works, so there's that at least.
So it doesn't cast the spell then, not just the variation on the usual theme, but something that approaches the effect differently?
I would advise not showing it to others.
Okay.
All right. I'm assuming you head closer to the ring.
Yes, we're approaching the ring.
Okay. Give me perception checks.
Everybody?
Oh.
And it's about that time of the evening where I get to watch you all roll incredibly low to end the session.
I rolled a 20.
Got an 8.
Dirty 20.
Yeah. I rolled a 20. I'm so glad we have plus Chris 3. Here.
Well, a 20 is an automatic success. So we have a crit from the barbarian.
Yes.
I love these hashes. Perception check not to see the moon. And you got a 13. So guess what? You don't see the moon.
I don't see the moon.
But we've got a dirty 20 and a nat 20. So I'm going to say, as you're trading the spyglass around, Dax... Mm-hmm. Does manage to find the moon. It's within the ring. So there's the sun, and there's the moon, and there's the ring. If you're going from the sun coming out.
The moon is
super close to the sun.
No, it's actually super close to the ring.
Oh, that can't be good for gravitation stuff.
That's going to be screwing everyone up.
Well, based on what you figured out from the tides not doing anything anymore after this moon left your world, yes, that is something that does not require any kind of roll to understand. Now, I'm going to say that because you've got one spyglass between all of you, Dax does hand it over to Zax.
We need more spyglasses.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they sell some in the ring world. Who knows?
Tell me where I'm going, Dax.
When Zax takes a look.
You try and do it.
Mm-hmm.
Zax also finds the moon right away. Zax also sees what appears to be fresh craters, many of which have scorch marks on the parts of the moon that you can see.
Okay. All right. That's our moon, but it's like, it looks like it's been in a battle. It's got all these like craters and like burn parts and
it's slightly
that's definitely
used.
It's
slightly used.
Yeah. But it looks like it's still in one piece. It's just a little bit damaged. And yeah, that's our moon. All right.
It's refurbished.
Come down to Crazy Yeti's Celestial Bodies. If you can't find a celestial body here that you like, I'll eat my hat.
Is your hat made out of salami?
Only the brim. The
a
rest
kobold
is
can have little a salami hat as a treat.
Oh no.
Now, Zax, there's one more thing that you notice.
Mm-hmm.
Some dots of light between the ring and you.
Dots of light?
Dots of light.
Okay, there's some kind of dots of light out there that... Are they coming from the ring?
Ooh, fireflies.
I don't know.
You want to look again?
Yeah, I want to look again.
They're still there. They look bigger.
Oh, they look bigger? Okay, evasive. We got to do evasive maneuvers. That thing's right.
All righty.
Oh, no.
That way.
Everybody hang on.
I hang on.
Hanging on. Well, getting in my chair, strapping myself in.
Okay.
I think.
Strap yourselves in. Pray to God.
Yes. Malora, save us.
We're going in there.
Nope.
He is going in there. I wouldn't. Let's see. Neri's piloting, I believe. Neri, give me a dexterity check.
Check or save?
Let's say save. You're trying to avoid obliteration. Save works.
Whoa.
Doesn't 27 do?
Hashtag deck save. Let's see if this is better than the last plus 8. Okay.
And it was.
So you managed to successfully avoid these what appear to be fireballs. That's the best approximation you can give for them. They don't quite look right to be fireballs, but they're about the size and velocity of what you would assume a fireball to be. And considering that you're friends with Zili, you are quite aware of what those are. you're able to avoid those. The gift ship is also able to avoid it, mostly. They didn't need that third mast anyway.
Oh my.
I am really not a fan of whatever spellcaster or, I guess, item is doing that.
Okay.
I think that is a very rude way to greet us.
Well, it doesn't know if we're an enemy.
But we're
and then
in.
The second volley comes towards you.
Someone on the ballista.
Oh, come on!
We're going to have to back up. We're going to have to, like, go farther away.
And that's where we're going to end it for tonight.
Whoa.
Who throws six fireballs at random ships?
Oh,
They're going to run out of spell slots eventually,
yeah.
Right?
Six. Works. Sure.
Who throws a shoe?
Oh, I'm back.
Honestly.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for playing. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Tonight, I was joined by a bunch of incredibly awesome people, including, but not limited to, Chris, Ellie, Io, Jen, and Cindy. Archbreath is hanging out in chat, which is awesome. Let's do a few quick plugs. So, everything is really small on my screen, so it's hard for me to read these properly. With that said, Chris, not Dax, because Dax does not have a podcast. It would be much more panic-stricken and probably be called Y'all Need Melora. Chris has a podcast that's recorded every other week called AzerothCTC.com, historically about World of Warcraft, but branching out into other games, including Dungeons & Dragons. Jen, not Zax, has a blog and podcast. You can get that at bookofjen.net. Io, not Chroma, has a mom. Well, Chroma has a mom too, but...
Not the same.
Clearly does not write books, and I think we should all be glad.
Yep.
Actually, I would probably pick that up on Audible, especially if it's read by the author. But you can get Io's mom's books at elizabeth-mccoy.com. And Ellie, not Neri, runs a whole social network. You can get there by going to elek.xyz. And we have a Patreon, patreon.com/cogwheelgaming. You can help us keep the lights on, along with other illustrious patrons, including Chris, Cindy, Ellie, and Eric, proceeds from which go towards things like commissioning awesome art of kobolds. Because gaze upon that awesome art. Gaze upon it. It is glorious. And it was not free. All right. So until next time.
Psionics. I just met a brain with psionic. And that's
good
our
night,
copyright
everybody.
Strike for the evening.
I was gonna say we were short one.
Oh.